Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in New York City. I got my man Clay out in Los Angeles, California. And we have much to discuss today on the show, talking to you about the latest with the Southwest Airlines debacle over the weekend. Was it really people calling out sick? Were they using up sick time? Was it a combination of factors? Is it really pushback against vaccine mandates? Speaking of vaccine mandates, revisiting yesterday the announcement by Texas that no vax mandates of any kind, private, public, you name it, allowed in that state by state law or by executive order of the governor. And that is now forcing a showdown with the federal government. We'll have COVID updates for you, where we stand right now in that fight and the suppression of our freedoms, and then much more. Maybe even some follow-up on the Gruden resignation yesterday and other tidbits from the sports world, courtesy of Mr. Clay. But people are recognizing that the fight over school boards and what's going on, what's being taught to your children, is a critical front right now in what could be called an American counter-revolution. Just by way of a quick review, you had the Maoist Cultural Revolution in China in the 60s stretching into the 70s. For about a decade, there was an effort by the Communist Party in China to completely remake, to undo the past and remake the present of China in a vicious and thuggish campaign where lots of people were killed, people were persecuted. It was horrible. And just as we should always look to those who have fled tyranny and come to America as reminders of why this place is so great, here is a parent, and she's gone viral, and this was up on Fox News. This was the main story on FoxNews.com this morning. A parent who has gone viral because she's saying that the Department of Justice putting out a notification warning from the Attorney General's office saying that they're going to start looking at parents who speak up at meetings. This is a major concern and should put people on edge because of the very clear comparisons with some of the rhetoric of the Cultural Revolution, the attacks on people, the divisiveness. Here's what she said.
When I was in China, I spent my entire school years in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. So I'm very, very familiar with the communist tactics of how they divide people, how they cancel the Chinese traditional culture and destroy our heritage. And all this is happening here in America. Now they are labeling parents and concerned citizens like me as domestic terrorists. What that can do? You may lose your freedom. I do have a question. What's next step? Is the Tiananmen Square crackdown the next? Would parents one day risk their life just to speak out for their children? That's why I'm here.
What is the next step, Clay?
Well, I think the next step needs to be Glenn Youngkin needs to win in Virginia, because I think that would be a major punch back against the idea of critical race theory. And for people who missed it, we had Glenn Youngkin on yesterday, and I believe what has become the most essential detail, the most essential battleground in his race against Terry McAuliffe for that Virginia gubernatorial seat, which will be decided next month, it's over schools. It's over what kids are being taught. It's over who has the right to look and debate about what is being taught. Buck, this idea that the Department of Justice is looking into what parents say at school boards, I appreciate what that woman said in her statement. The people who understand how scary this is are oftentimes not Americans, Buck. They're people who have lived and seen what happens when the government starts to clamp down on what opinions are allowed and what opinions are not. And I say this, Buck, as a parent who went to one of those school board meetings that the president has referenced many times as being unacceptable. And I just got to tell you, I left that school board meeting, and I told you this, and I told you on the air, more happy, more optimistic about what was going on in the country than I have been in a very long time, because what we need is not the DOJ investigating so-called domestic terrorists at school boards. We need more. More people out there at the absolute grassroots level getting involved and fighting back against the idea that America is an evil place, which is what is being inculcated in our kids right now. It's not to say that America is perfect. It isn't. Nothing created by man has ever been perfect. But America is the greatest country to ever be created in the history of the world. And that used to be a uniting theory that everybody in America shared. Now we don't. And that is a designed attempt to destroy the legitimacy of this country's backbone. And I think we got to take up arms against it in an aggressive way. And the best way to do that is for parents to show up and speak out and pay attention to who's on the school boards and who's at these lower level positions. And I think it's going to be a major point of failure for the Democrats, because I think they're going to lose the Virginia election over this.
Speaking of the school board meetings, Scott Smith was a parent who went to one of these meetings, and there is an excellent story, in-depth story by the Daily Wire's Luke Rosiak on this. I'm going to be talking to Luke later on today on TV about this. Luke is, he's gone deep into this story, and when you read the details of this, it's honestly enraging. There are some stories you read and you get angry as you go through it. And this all centers around a school board meeting. Clay, on June 22nd, Scott Smith in Loudoun County, which we know is the front line of this, Loudoun County, Virginia, he was at a school board meeting, which was deemed an unlawful assembly, as Rosiak writes in the piece here. And what people didn't realize, and as Smith was arrested at this meeting, he was a concerned parent arrested, was that he was there because one of the topics was about transgender students, male transgender students, using the female bathroom. His ninth grade daughter had been sexually assaulted by a transgender student in a Loudoun County public school mere weeks before. Activists said that he was lying when he tried to raise this. Police wrestled him to the ground. His pants got pulled down. His face was bloodied. And he was treated like, essentially, a domestic terrorist or
That's
somebody
right.
who was an insurrectionist or whatever the rhetoric is that they want to use. And Smith then, for the left, was held up. I know he was on Laura's show last night on Fox News, and people are now finally hearing his story. He was held up as an example of the scary, angry parents at the school board, completely ignoring the fact that this is a guy whose teenage daughter was assaulted by a male student who likes to wear a skirt sometimes in the ladies' room, the girls' bathroom, weeks before at the school. And the school said they were handling it in-house. They tried to cover it up. He went to the sheriff's department, fortunately. They did take it seriously. There was a rape kit given to this girl. They did get information that can be used in a criminal proceeding. Now, we're talking about minors here, so everything is sealed. There's a lot that's not out there. But isn't it so, it's really, truly unsettling. It's kind of frightening that this concerned father who's angry about his daughter being sexually assaulted in her high school tries to talk about this at a school board meeting, and the cops plant him on the ground face first. His pants are pulled down. He's mocked and ridiculed on video. And he's, I guess, what Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is talking about as a insurrectionist, domestic terrorist parent. It's outrageous.
Well, it's also outrageous that if you share a story like this, it's as if it isn't allowed to be discussed. This is the fear, right? When you have anybody who wants to use any bathroom that they could, that you could have biological teenage boys, right? We've been, Buck, biological teenage boys. We oftentimes, I always say the dumbest human beings on the planet are 14 and 15 and 16-year-old boys, right? And the other thing I always say is there's never very often a girl whose final two words are, "Watch this." And yet there are all these stupid teenage boys doing all sorts of stupid things. And it's imminently foreseeable that if you just allow people to decide what gender they are, and you're going to allow them to go into any private place inside of a school, that issues like this could arise. And that should be a big part of the debate when you try to make decisions such as these. So the idea that you would not allow a parent to speak out and share why he is opposing a policy, and that you would demonize him based on sharing that story, is evidence, Buck, of narrative trumping reality. narrative trumping everything if you are willing to speak out in a way that challenges the prevailing liberal narrative, you will be attacked and people will try to end you. They'll try to cancel
it,
you.
It gets worse, Clay. I mean, we'll have to come back and tell people about how did the school principal and school officials react to the father showing up to the school when he found out that his ninth grade daughter had been sexually assaulted by a trans dude in the bathroom? How did the prosecutor? Remember, people think Loudoun County, just so everybody knows, it's a high per capita income county with a lot of Democrats. This is not some super red county. So you do have, for example, the prosecutor is a progressive. And how, yes, the prosecutor, who'd the prosecutor want to send to prison? I can tell you so far, not the sexual assault. By the way, two sexual assaults allegedly committed by the transgender student. The first one and then a second one that happened just in October, according to this Rosiak piece in the Daily Wire. So there's more details here. People need to know about this. People need to know you can't trust the school board in some of these places. You can't trust the principals, the administrators, the prosecutors. I will say the only people who look with some seriousness in this, like they were doing their jobs, sheriff's department, law enforcement took the allegation seriously. They acted. Everybody else, Clay, in the bureaucracy trying to cover for what they feel like would be a blow to the trans agenda, essentially, because that was also the topic at this school board meeting. So we got more details for you on
compare
this.
Compare that, by the way, Buck, to the way that they would have reacted if a trans student had claimed that they were being assaulted because they were trans.
That would be a national news story that CNN would run for days and days on the front page of CNN.com and, you know, as a top story. And there would be panels. There'd be a law probably named in order to prevent it. So we'll come back into this in a second.
It's narrative over facts. That's what's happening every day in this country.
When you're online browsing, do you use Chrome? Well, incognito mode might help you a little bit, but guess what? The fine print tells you your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, your ISP. All that stuff is tracked. So how can you even call it incognito? If you really want to stop people from seeing all of your activity online, you need to do what we do and use ExpressVPN. I mean, think about all the times you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop or a hotel, for instance. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. That's still true even when you're in incognito mode. What's more, your home internet provider can also see and record your browsing data. In the U.S., they're legally allowed to sell that data to advertisers, Clay, and they do.
Yeah, and ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity stays just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, super easy to use. The app literally has one button. You tap it to connect, and your browsing activity is secure from prying eyes. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/clay. Use my link right now, expressvpn.com/clay, to get 3 extra months for free. One more time, that's expressvpn.com, expressvpn.com/clay to learn. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Wednesday edition of the program. One of the big challenges, Buck, is the idea of narrative over facts. And I feel in many ways that we live in a post-fact era, because what matters is not what's occurring, it's how the individual story plays into the prevailing narrative. And the prevailing narrative is, if you say anything other than transgender people are the greatest humans who have ever existed, effectively, if you raise any issues about transgender athletes competing against in women's sports and winning, we had Olympians who used to be men that became women. We've got state high school champions who are men competing as women. We've got bathrooms where you're not allowed to say, hey, let's, in a high school, require that people go to the bathroom of their respective gender because these are private spaces, and there may be, in possible cases, some danger associated with allowing people of opposite genders to be using the same bathrooms in public high schools. Like, this is not a crazy idea, right? Anybody who has ever been in a high school can imagine how a dangerous situation could arise like that. So, Buck, what is the latest procedural posture here? Because it seems quite clear to me that what occurred was the fact pattern didn't fit the narrative. So instead of the fact pattern being examined in a rigorous way, which is what the judicial system's job is, instead, the dad here became the target of derision and an attack.
Yeah, the father was held up here. Scott Smith was held up as the exemplar, if you will, of the angry parent at the school board meeting who poses a threat to public safety and order. And what you find is that, first of all, because in part there was an effort within the school to keep the first sexual assault of Smith's daughter. Remember, the people involved here, both the assailant and the victim, are minors. So everything is sealed. Their names are not in the public domain. But the first sexual assault was kept quiet. There was a second sexual assault, and the Daily Wire and Luke Rosiak, big hat tip to him for this story, has confirmed that the same name has been attached, at least behind closed doors, to both of these sexual assaults.
Different girls or the same girl? Do we
different,
know?
Different girls. Transgender,
yes,
male
same
assaulting
guy.
Two different girls. And the school, when Scott Smith, and he was on... Laura Ingraham's show last night on Fox News, I know that he talked about this situation, but Scott Smith was arrested, and he was arrested, and then later on he came to the school. He was arrested at the school board meeting. When he came to school initially, they called the police on him, and then the principal put out a statement when he was angry about the sexual assault of his daughter. The principal put out a statement saying there was a disturbance at the school, and Smith was the bad guy. There was no talk about the threat to public safety from a student who had sexually assaulted another student in the bathroom using this trans policy. Allegedly, that's how this whole thing got going, because he was in the girl's bathroom. And, you know, these are the facts of the case as we know them. But they went after the parent. And then the progressive prosecutor wanted to throw a number of charges at him and make him serve the father jail time, real jail time, a couple weeks in jail. Because this is a prosecutor, Clay, who ran on a end mass incarceration platform, but a threat to the trans agenda in this case of bathroom policy, and he's a bad guy according to the left. That's what happens.
And again, this is, I think, going to become significant because, as you said, in Loudoun County, this is the flashpoint, I believe, that may well decide the Virginia gubernatorial election, not just this particular incident, as described in the Daily Wire, but the larger battles over CRT, over masking students, over the way that kids are being treated in public schools in Virginia, and the fact that Terry McAuliffe, the former governor, came out and said that parents didn't have a right to decide what their kids were going to be taught in school. And so this is the major flashpoint right now. Look, I want to make sure we save you as much money as you can. And right now, for $30 a month with our friends at Pure Talk, you can talk, you can text all you want with 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. That's the exact same 5G network, exact same towers as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile does. You can save $50 or $60 a month. The average size family saves over $800 a year. My own son has a Pure Talk wireless phone. We love it. They are fantastic. Switching is incredibly easy. You get to keep your same number and your same phone. All you have to do is go and call right now. What I need you to do, get your phones, and from your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. Again, phones in your hand, you get 50% off your first month, 30-day risk-free guarantee, #250, say Pure Talk. Do it today.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thanks for being here with us. If you want to chat with us about anything on your mind today that we're talking about, 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. Remember to go to clayandbuck.com for updates and stories we're talking about here, plus some special content for our EIB 24/7 subscribers. Now, we have been talking about the Southwest Airlines situation the last few days, and it was certainly a big news item over the weekend because you had a couple thousand flights canceled, which affected a whole lot of folks. And the belief was, among many, that this was the result of people calling out sick, essentially taking action in order to push back against the vaccine mandate that Southwest has. Now, Southwest had its CEO come out and say he doesn't like vaccine mandates, but what's he going to do? The federal government has said you have to have this implemented. And it looks like this is going to play out now between the state of Texas and the federal government on who has supremacy on this issue. But Geraldo over at Fox had quite a clay pointed this one out to me, had quite a reaction.
Conniption fit might even be a way to describe it.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit agitated about this one. Let's hear what he had to say.
These airline pilots are screwing the public, and the worst of all is not the pilots, because I say use whatever weapons you have. It's Chip Roy, the congressman from San Antonio and Austin. This guy is an ideological lunatic. He said when he looked at the crowd of people who could not get on their Southwest flights because they were canceled and so forth, this makes me happier than I can possibly articulate. Eat it, Southwest Airlines. This is a guy getting almost sexual pleasure from the chaos and the disruption.
Sexual pleasure.
From the chaos and the disruption.
To make this sexual, you're a sick man.
Congressman Roy, I challenge you. What did you mean when you said eat it to Southwest Airlines?
Amazing clip from Geraldo there. First of all, if you get sexual pleasure from people standing in line to get on an airplane flight, you got a lot bigger issues than whether or not the pilots have a COVID vaccine mandate. All right, let's start there. But this, to me, is a big story. We appreciate the callers we got yesterday from Southwest Airlines kind of putting this into context for us, Buck. But this is a big story because what you are seeing, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit at the start of the second hour, is a lot of people from a variety of different backgrounds are now standing up against the idea of COVID vaccine mandates. And they're being labeled, of course, because narrative over facts, as anti-vax. But no. Most people out there are not opposed to vaccinations. It's a tiny minority of the population that has that perspective at all. What is going on is people are anti-COVID vaccine mandates in order to have to keep your job. And there is a desperate attempt to delegitimize those very legitimate perspectives, Buck, in the name of trying to delegitimize the person. So this is the number one playbook of left-wing arguments now. And I want all of you to recognize what goes on. He didn't criticize. Look, even Geraldo there. What happens is you don't attack the idea. We can debate ideas. You attack the person. Right. And so immediately what happens is if you raise your hand, you say, hey, you know what? I've looked at all the metrics. I don't think that 5-year-olds need to get the COVID vaccine. That's my perspective. People don't argue about the data. Although interestingly, Buck, did you see the New York Times had a story up finally yesterday where they said, hey, turns out kids aren't actually in danger from COVID statistically. It's like, oh, yeah, 19 months later, you finally come around. But what happens is the person themselves is attacked. You are anti-vax. No, I've looked at the data, and I don't believe that COVID vaccines make sense for 5-year-olds in this country, given the current data. That makes you anti-vax, even though it's not true. That's the attack. If you say, hey, you know, I'm opposed to the idea of critical race theory, what's the response? It's not a debate over critical race theory, usually. It's you're racist.
Yeah, ad hominem attack is something the left excels in. It's actually central in their toolkit of trying to silence people, though these days they have so many levers of power to wield with social media platform censorship and the government, the DOJ perhaps putting out a memo saying, yeah, we're looking at you parents that are a little too noisy about critical race theory in schools. Same thing, by the way, with anybody who's too noisy about mask mandates in schools, which you certainly know about from what you've dealt with in Tennessee. This is the reality that we are all up against right now. Governor, you spoke about the difference between being opposed to vaccines and being opposed to vaccine mandates. I think at some level, the left really doesn't believe that there is such a thing as individual freedom. There is only the collective will as expressed through endless government authority. And that's really a central psychological and emotional separation between people who are on the left and people who are on the right. If you're on the left, you think whatever the state believes is best, it has the stamp of the people, and therefore you don't really count. No, there are some of us who still think that a government that's able to put a shot in your arm effectively. And by the way, why shouldn't they go to the lengths of saying, we're going to arrest you, we're going to do what Australia does? If the rhetoric of these people that you're reckless and you're putting people in danger is to be believed, they should, by their own admission, be willing to do even more extreme things than they've done so far. And they've been getting more extreme with time. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis, though, who is standing athwart these mandates in Florida, speaking the truth about it.
So I think the coercion is just totally wrong. I think it's destroying trust in public health to the extent that there was still trust left over after what all the stuff that's been done. But I think it's really, really negative, and I think you're going to end up driving people away.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Right.
He's right. I mean, the data reflects what he's saying. Also, the data reflects that they still don't talk about how it's not just red state, you know, rural Trump voting America that has questions about the vaccine. There's still a very large percentage, relatively speaking, of African Americans across the country who have not gotten the shot. And the media just always says, oh, well, they're
it's
allowed
Trump voters. It's red state idiots. It's ignorant rednecks, anti-vax. That's the narrative. Again, narrative over facts.
Yeah, but Clay, but they're
facts.
Allowed to be skeptical of government authority and power, according to the media, whereas other people are not, which I think is so interesting. And they always will say, oh, because of the Tuskegee experiment. This is, you'll see this in the New York Times. You'll see this in other places. How many of the individuals, the young, particularly young black men who have decided not to get the shot, really cite the Tuskegee experiment as the basis for it?
No, it's a great point. And by the way, I just want to keep hammering this too. Without COVID vaccine mandates, without any requirement that there be masking, Florida is almost the lowest COVID incident state in the entire country right now. You're not hearing that. Every time the cases would tick up everywhere, CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, they all covered it with great glee as the numbers rose in an attempt to attack Ron DeSantis. Now, as the numbers have plummeted to the extent where Florida is nearly the lowest in the entire nation, almost nobody at all, Buck, is talking about it. Speaking of which, Tunnel to Towers Foundation. It looks out after those that have put their lives on the line as either first responders or our troops fighting the war on terrorism. Those individuals and their families, primary responsibility of the team at Tunnel to Towers Foundation. We've shared the stories of members of the Marine Corps and the Army, as well as their families, in an effort to display the links this foundation goes to provide assistance where it's needed most. In one case, it's a home custom built to meet the needs of a soldier who suffered the loss of limbs while in battle. In another case, a family that's lost their father and husband on the battlefield who now have a mortgage-free home and the peace of mind that comes with it. Buck, there are so many people like this.
So many stories like this. So many families and individuals in need. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committing to helping as many as possible with your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Want to encourage you to download the podcast. We really are big fans of all of you, however you're managed to listen to the show, whether it's streaming, whether it is through the podcast, whether it is on our 400-plus AM/FM affiliates all over the country. We actually had a meeting about the podcast yesterday, and we found out that we have one of the biggest podcast audiences in the entire country. I think that was one of the big takeaways, and that's because of you guys. So you can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton's name. You can go sign up, go give us 5 stars, and not miss a minute of the show. Buck, I'm out here in L.A., and I had a pretty awesome experience last night. The 25th anniversary of Fox News, for those out there who are aware, they've been celebrating it on Fox News. And they had a dinner in L.A., and I got to sit next to Rupert Murdoch. I'd never met Rupert Murdoch before. He was there celebrating the 25th anniversary of Fox News. Obviously, Rupert Murdoch and his family, they own the New York Post. They own the Wall Street Journal. They now own Outkick, the business that I founded. So I got to meet Rupert and sit next to him and have an interesting conversation with him yesterday evening. And one of the things I brought up with him, Buck, was he was interested in the Texas A&M Alabama game and the student chants and everything else. And I shared with him the rise of the concept of let's go Brandon. And he loved it. He thought it was so funny. This idea of F Joe Biden has been spreading like wildfire. And now the new adjustment that is not as negative in the context of curse words has become let's go Brandon. And this was at a NASCAR event. These are kids getting set to announce the start of this NASCAR event. And I just thought this was absolutely fantastic, Buck. Let's play cut 17. This happened yesterday.
They're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys, ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engines.
Let's go, Brandon.
And I mentioned this yesterday, Buck, that Jesse Kelly was walking around in the Let's Go Brandon t-shirt, and that the Texas A&M students overwhelmingly loved it. And Rupert Murdoch loved it. And I don't know how much bigger this meme is going to get, but I honestly think it's going to continue to grow into 2022, because what it does is puncture the idea of the news media in many ways sharing real facts. And for those of you who don't know where this all started, this Let's Go Brandon sort of meme that's taken over the internet, it was during an interview in NASCAR. The crowd is chanting F Joe Biden, and the host there says, oh, there's chanting Let's Go Brandon, and it's taken off like wildfire, Buck, and it's become really pretty funny. I got to be honest. I almost laugh every time I see it.
People are selling Let's Go Brandon t-shirts all over the place. I'm seeing them popping up. I know Jesse Kelly was wearing one. The Biden administration has lost so many independents at this point, and people are seeing the incompetence in a way that worries those whose job it is to try to convince people that Biden's actually competent and knows what's going on and is running the country well.
No doubt.
I mean, the numbers you're seeing right now, what, 5%? I think they had the biggest increase for Social Security cost of living in, you know, decades. It's been a long time, because inflation is going up. I mean, the things that, what's amazing about the Biden administration at this point, I think this is why there's such a catharsis, there's such a feeling of release when you could say, let's go, Brandon, is that all the things that we were warning were going to happen, all the things that we said, don't do this, Biden administration, or else the following will occur, whether it's the undermining by the Democrat Party. I know it started under Trump, but the BLM movement, which is a Democrat movement, and then continued on now under the Biden administration, undermining of police, spending too much money, inflation rising, American sovereignty under constant assault at the U.S.-Mexico border, all of these things. And sure enough, what's the response they even have on COVID? I mean, the area of alleged greatest competency for Biden. So, yeah, I get why people are running around yelling, let's go, Brandon. I understand where this frustration comes from.
And not only that, we're dealing, and I think you mentioned it, and we should continue to hammer this. Biden is claiming that everybody's going to get a tax cut out there, right? That's what he's trying to sell with this big reconciliation bill that they are attempting to force through. The problem is consumer prices are increasing so quickly that that is a default tax of nearly $200 a month on the average American family. So you're talking about thousands of dollars in increased cost, particularly for meat and eggs. We know gasoline is at a 7-year price high as you're driving around trying to fill up your car. And they've been trying to argue, Buck, oh, this inflation is transitory. It's just a function of the economy getting back up and running post-COVID. What they are not acknowledging is they created this inflationary environment by artificially constraining all of our economy. And now, this idea that we were never going to have shortages again, I think by Christmas and certainly by Thanksgiving, and a lot of you see it already when you go to your grocery stores, there are empty shelves, something that we had not seen in decades in the United States.
There's absolutely going to be shortages. I mean, the Biden administration is already trying to prepare the spin and the talking points for what people are getting ready for. I mean, they're calling it Biden's holiday nightmare over at the Daily Mail.
Yes.
They're saying the supply chain will not be fixed by Christmas. They're urging parents to get gifts to buy toys now, which I would note, that just means you're accelerating the supply
That's
chain
right.
issue. Right?
That's what we're doing, by the
saying,
way, Buck.
Yeah, they're saying, come on, go out there and grab the stuff that's on the shelves while you can. Well, guess what? That's going to mean that people are going to go now. And while there's these snarls happening where you have ships that are waiting weeks to offload their cargo, and this is a number of factors, but certainly Biden administration economic policy and COVID policy is directly relating to and in many ways responsible for this. So what are people, you know, you look at this where we are right now versus where we were a year ago, Clay, and you think to yourself, you know, obviously we're about to go into the election, the decision the American people were facing, but they promised us a united, and you remember it, right? Last October, Biden was saying a united country with, you know, shared prosperity and COVID, what was the line? crush COVID, not the economy. It turned out he was close, except more crush the economy, not COVID, right? That's what we've actually seen. And it's a shame because I wish I could sit here and say that we had other political fights to have. We didn't have to talk about COVID at all. But they misled people at so many stages of this about how effective their plans would be. Remember 100 days of masking?
It was going to solve everything, Buck. That's what Joe Biden told us. If we would just wear masks for 100 days, COVID would be over. If we would just get 50% of people vaccinated, COVID would be over. If you would just get vaccinated yourself, you would never have to wear a mask again. All of those have been proven to be lies. And Joe Biden, and I think we need to keep emphasizing this, more people have died now in the Joe Biden 2021 regime than died when Trump was in charge, when everybody out there in the Biden administration was saying that the number one reason why you needed Joe Biden in the White House was because he would solve COVID. And that's despite the fact that they now have a vaccine, that we'd already had a lot of people who had gotten sick and dealt with COVID. They still have done a worse job. When we come back, Buck. There's a story that I think is emblematic of how much cosmetic theater is going on. New York City, L.A., San Francisco, and their vaccine mandates. It's impacting Kyrie Irving, who is one of the stars of the NBA. They aren't going to allow him to play basketball because he's refusing to get the COVID vaccine. What's going on and how much trouble does this create when the storylines change from anti-vax, Trump-supporting red state losers to others living in metropolitan cities and they're refusing the COVID vaccine? I think it's a fascinating discussion.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.